John 16:31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered," speaking to his disciples, "every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." You're all going to forsake me and leave me. "And yet I am not alone," hallelujah, "because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Simply stated by our Lord Jesus Christ, he began to tell them of his death all through the ministry with the disciples for that 3.5 years. When he chose his 12 disciples, he began to tell them periodically at different times, "They are going to arrest me, I am going to be tried, and I am going to be put to death." It was Peter that rose up against the Lord. If you remember in the Word, Peter said, "Lord, it's not so. Not going to allow that. Not going to allow you to be killed, Lord." That same Peter that came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when they did come to arrest our Lord, he knew what he was facing. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, the Bible says, as if great drops of blood. That is fervent prayer, brothers and sisters. He knew of his hour. He knew his purpose. Christ knew why he came down to the earth. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know what your purpose here is in the earth? That we don't just have to wander around here in life and question, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's the plan of God? Jesus came for a purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But his purpose here on the earth, and if you remember many a times, he said, "My time is not yet. It's not time for them to arrest me. It's not time for them to take me and try me." But he knew the hour would come. For the climax of his ministry would end, ultimately, we all know, in his death and crucifixion upon the cross. He begins to share this in John 16. And he begins to tell them in verse 32, "Behold, the hour cometh." And what does he say? "And yea, it is now." Right now, it's going to happen. "That ye shall all be scattered and forsake me." He says, "You're all going to forsake me. And every man is going to go to his own. And you shall leave me alone." Are you listening? "You shall leave me alone." You're going to forsake me. And I like this statement, "But yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Can I tell you today that you may feel alone? You may find yourself in place where you feel all alone, but can I tell you, you're not alone. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. He said, "There is one that sticketh closer." The Word of God declares there's one that sticks closer than a brother, a mother, a father, or a close friend, and that is our God. Amen. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." I don't know about you, but that makes me get stirred in my heart and spirit with the confidence to know that, amen, our friends and family and loved ones and people that we so much rely upon, they will forsake us. They don't mean to at all times, but they can let you down. Amen. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're facing today, but I want to quickly drop this word in your spirit this morning. Jesus was come to a place of that garden Garden of Gethsemane, where he knew his hour was come. And the Bible says he began to pray. He asked his disciples. His mind was struggling with the thought of having to be beaten and crucified and hung upon an old rugged cross like we sang about this morning. And he was left all alone by his disciples. The one that said, which was Peter, "I will never leave you alone, Lord. I'm going to fight for you." But oh, we all know the story of Peter. He forsook the Lord 3 times before the cock crowed. Amen. And we remember how he forsook him and he denied that he even knew him. Could you imagine Peter, the one that was so bold? And that's why we've got to be careful to say, "I'll never do this," or "I'll never do that," or "I'll never forsake you. I'll never fall into sin." The Bible says, "If any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." Amen. Many of us have good intentions and will make professions of faith with confidence and even with the right motive at times that "I'll never do this" or "I'll never do that." Be careful what you say. Amen. Because God will put you to the test. God will see if what you profess is what you really will do when you're put in that position. It's one thing to make a profession, but it's another thing to really, really be put in that circumstance and face a hard place where you're tried with what you said you would never do. Amen. And that's why the Bible says, take heed when you say that you will never do this or that. The Bible says, "If any man thinks within himself he can stand, take heed lest he fall." Because we are all faced with temptation. Amen? Temptation is something that we are all faced with. Jesus came to the hour of temptation. Matter of fact, if you remember in the Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he came, he was desperately agonizing in pain, with the thought of having to be crucified. And that's when he pleaded with the Father, "Father, if there be another way, if you can only let this cup pass from me," the cup of despair, the cup of feeling like I'm getting ready to face death. If he said, "There be another way, O Lord," could you imagine? And he says, "But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Can I tell you, it takes a real strong man or woman of God to come to the place of giving themselves wholly to God. Amen. That's one of the hardest things that it is for a believer, to present yourself to God, holy and acceptable unto Him. The Bible says we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Once you understand that your life is not your own, that when you confessed and believed and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's one of the hardest things to do, is say, "Lord, I give you everything. I give you my life. I give you my everything, O Lord. My life is not my own, because I realize I have been bought with a price. And that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon Calvary's cross." That's why Jesus gave his life. That's why he would not go out and say, "I'm not going to go through this crucifixion." He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. He felt all alone. He said to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, "Come and pray with me. I'm come under such a strong feeling of agony." He says, "I need you, my brothers." But they, after a little while, they couldn't even pray with him. They fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can I tell you, he was left all alone. But oh, let me remind you, he was not alone. The Bible says he fell down upon his face. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be beaten with 39 stripes. Oh, as the blood protruded out of his back, as they ripped, listen to me, as they ripped the flesh off of his body. Some theologians and many that have studied about crucifixion and the cat of nine tails that our Lord and Savior was beaten with will tell you that the pieces of metal and glass and sharp rock that was hewn down to dig into the flesh with sharp edges, and they just didn't dig it into the flesh. They ripped it away as it tore the flesh off the bone 39 times over and over and over. Our Lord Jesus Christ bled and died, and He began to lose His blood. But oh, brothers and sisters, why did He take the beating upon His back? They ripped out His beard. They took the thorn and placed it upon His head. He knew in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed and pleaded with the Father, "Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have to necessarily die. I don't want to have to listen." And that's one of the hardest things that every one of us has got to come to grip with, is that we have got to die one day. We are going to have to die one day. And that is something that many of us don't like to think about. But can I tell you, oh, there is really no death for the believer. Can I tell you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no sting to death. There is no pain in death. That we don't die because we're in Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and He is the life. We don't die, but actually we begin to live. If you believe it, raise your hands and say amen. You, brothers and sisters, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, are going to have to face times when you feel all alone. And I get to thinking and praying for some of our single folk about how many of them are alone a lot of times. All alone. They have nobody to lay down with at night. They have nobody necessarily to pray with. They have nobody to bear their burdens and to share their most inner thoughts of their heart and share what they're facing, what they're going through. And they may at times feel all alone. And maybe you do have somebody that you spend a lot of time with, but it's not the same as having a husband or a wife by your side. And the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for some of you brothers and sisters to be alone. But that's what life has dealt with you, and maybe it is the will of God. Paul the Apostle said, "I would that some of you would be as I, but if you cannot contain your flesh, go ahead and marry." Amen? It's better to marry than to burn. Now, we won't get into the marriage and divorce and all that, but I'm here to tell you, the Bible says it's not good to be alone. Loneliness is an awful thing to deal with. Some of us may not want to admit it, but we struggle with loneliness. We struggle with not having intimacy. Hug. You ever heard someone that just tell you, "You need a hug," and you get a hug? You need to feel loved. You need to feel cared for. You need to feel the embrace of a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife or just somebody that truly loves you. Amen. It's an awful thing to feel like you're alone. Maybe weeks will go by, no one will call you. But I want to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ faced this same feeling of being forsaken and all alone. Now, some of you, this message may mean nothing to you. But can I tell you what is really, really the enemy is using in many lives of God's people? And that is loneliness. Feeling like they're facing things all alone. You could be surrounded with co-workers and friends and family members and loved ones, but deep inside there's a hidden battle going on within your conscience and in your spirit where you're feeling like nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows my fear. Nobody knows my struggle. Nobody knows the heartache, the pain. Nobody knows the spirit of fear that comes to me and torments me. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? You might not say amen or want to admit it, but there's a battle going on within. And can I tell you, you know what that battle is? It's the battle of the war of the flesh and the spirit. If you are a believer today and you've accepted Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God within you. But we have something that is contending with us, and that is this flesh. And that flesh flesh does not want to submit and to do the will of God. And that's why Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He was in that place of understanding that he was going to have to give his life for all of humanity. And he was arrested, and we know about all the suffering that he went through. But I want to tell somebody that feels alone this morning, you may feel like Jesus did when he got arrested, all the disciples scattered. The ones that said, I'll stick close to you, I'll be there for you, they scattered. But it was Peter. I will give credit to Peter. The Bible says as they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and they begin to take him to be tried, the Bible says Peter followed the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. Peter knew. He did. He had a desire to serve the Lord. He had a desire to follow the Lord. But yet he knew, amen, that in his heart he totally, really wasn't submitted to God. His whole heart wasn't given to God. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you might feel alone today. And Jesus said, all of my disciples are going to forsake me. The hour cometh, and now it is come that you shall be scattered. And every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm not alone. Somebody say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone, he said. Because why? Oh, hallelujah. He says, I'm not alone because my Father is with me. You ain't hearing me. I want to tell somebody that the devil's been lying to you, telling you you can't make it through this one. You're not going to make it through this one. The devil is a liar. I'm bringing you a word to drop in your spirit today. I know that some of us have been going through some hard trials and some hard tests. Some of us have been facing some things that we don't want to admit. The flesh dies hard. It doesn't want to submit. It's rebellious. It does not want to be crucified with Christ. But brothers and sisters, oh hallelujah, you're not alone. It is Christ that will come to give you the strength that you need to overcome every obstacle, every hindrance, and the powers of the hell that try to keep you from totally submitting to the will of God for your life. When we submit to God, sometimes it is painful. You're going to have to suffer in the flesh. Paul the Apostle spoke of dying daily to that flesh. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. And it's not that I that live anymore in my flesh, but it's Christ that lives in me. This is the process that must take place in the life of every believer. We must be crucified with Christ. Easier said than done. Many of us, the Lord will put us in things in this life that are designed to crucify us. Many of our trials, many of our temptations, many of our afflictions, many of the hard places in our lives personally that we go through, God permits them and he allows them. If you love God today, you can be assured that the trial that you're facing, the season that you've been going through, God has designed it to be a type of crucifixion process. And through everything that you go through, you are being crucified in the flesh. And when you go through this trial, there should be less of you and more of him. That's what John said. John said, oh, that I must decrease that he can increase. And a crucifixion process is a painful process. Are you listening? They said it's one of the most agonizing deaths that a man can face. And can I tell you what many of us do is we are put up on the cross. We are put in a place of dying out to the flesh. And we don't let the process of crucifixion complete the work it is designed to do. Don't be so quick to get out of every circumstance you go through. God will permit you to go through places in your life that are designed to crucify that flesh. And many of us say, Lord, I can't take it. I can't go through this. I can't face this. I can't do it all alone. But can I tell you, you can do all things through Christ, who does what? Who strengthens you. It's not in your strength that you're able to stand up to the pressure, stand up to what you're being faced with, what you're being tempted with. What we're facing today is the hour of temptation, where many are going to have to make a decision. Are we going to do the will of God and submit to the will of God for my life? Or am I going to let my flesh rule and reign me? Many of us cannot drink the cup. Listen, brothers and sisters, we can't drink the cup. We want to pass it off and say, oh, I don't want it right now. But oh, it's a bitter cup. Life is a bitter life sometimes. It's a painful process. Some of you have been through some hurtful things. Some of you have been through some tragic losses. Some of you have went through some hard places in life. But if you'll admit to yourself that God designed these trials to bring you to the place where you realize you can't do it without Him. You can't do it alone. I know we've got a generation, and it's especially moving amongst the women in our nation, of this independent spirit that makes them feel like, I don't need a man. I can do it all by myself. I don't need a man. Listen, the Bible says it's not good for you to be alone. That means man or woman. Be careful of a spirit of independence that will come in, thinking you can do it all alone. I just need the Holy Ghost and I can do it. No, 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 no. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have to say, man. That's what people think. All I need is God. All I need is the Holy Ghost. No, no, no. You need a brother. You need your sister. Yes, it's all sometimes we need is the Holy Ghost. That's all we've got. Samson was left alone. But all God provided a jawbone of a donkey. And He took out 1,000 Philistines. Paul the Apostle said they all forsook me when I preached the gospel. And they were going to kill and stone me. He says, I was left alone. But yet the Lord stood with me. He was not alone. And there'll be some trials, some things you'll have to have a only God by your side. But can I tell you, life is not designed for you to do it all by yourself. What we've got is many that are too prideful to ask for help. God never designed it to be that way in your life.